Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Antares third quarter 2012 earnings conference call. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any of the participants have difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I would now like to hand the conference over to Jack Howarth, Antares Vice President of Corporate Affairs. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mark, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's call. We announced third quarter 2012 financial results earlier this morning, and the press release can be found on the Antares website at www.antarespharma.com under the Investor Relations tab. Before we begin, please be advised that during the course of this call, we may make forward-looking statements concerning the company that are not historical facts. These forward-looking statements may include, but are not limited to, statements concerning the timing of product sales, market estimates, market potential and growth prospects, technology platforms, and working capital needs. Forward-looking statements provide Antares' current expectation or forecast of future events. Antares' results could differ materially from those reflected in these forward-looking statements due to decisions of regulatory authorities and Antares' ability to execute on its development plans, capital needs, and general financial, economic, regulatory, and political conditions affecting the pharmaceutical industry generally. Additional information concerning these risks and uncertainties are contained in the Risk Factors section of Antares' annual report on Form 10-K and in Antares' periodic filings and other filings made with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Antares is providing this information as of the date of this release and does not undertake any obligation to update any forward-looking statements contained in this earnings call as a result of new information, future events, or circumstances after the date hereof, except as required by law or otherwise. The company cautions investors not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. Joining me on the call today are Dr. Paul Watton, President and Chief Executive Officer, Robert Abel, Chief Financial Officer and President of the Parenteral Products Group at Antares, and LaRouche Juste, Senior Vice President, Pharmaceutical Sales and Marketing. After the presentation, we will open the lines for Q&A. I will now turn the call over to Paul Watton. Paul?
Thanks, Jack. Good morning, everyone, and thanks again for joining us on today's call. I'd like to begin today's call by reviewing some of our recent highlights following the completion of the most productive quarter in the company's history. After I've completed my remarks, I'm sure you will understand why I'm so confident about the future direction of Antares. We continue to advance our pipeline strategy, which is designed to provide commercial opportunities where our company can fully enjoy the rewards of its own entrepreneurial investment rather than be dependent on others for our success. I shall start with the status of our most advanced development program, Vivex-MTX Medijet, for the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis. We announced this morning, as part of our earnings release, the completion of all, and I repeat, all studies necessary for the filing of a new drug application with the FDA for this program. We completed all this work ahead of our plan, which is also reflected by the accelerated R&D investment shown in the third quarter results. Today, I'm pleased to announce the completion of a new clinical pharmacokinetic study in RA patients, which compared methotrexate given with Medijet administration at four different doses at two separate administration sites versus the same four doses given as oral methotrexate tablets. We believed, after productive discussions with the FDA in the fall of last year, that it was important to evaluate and confirm the clinical pharmacokinetic benefits of the Vivex MTX Medijet versus oral methotrexate, as this will not only be important for RA patients and physicians, but for third-party payers as well. The data from this study are being finalized, and we will report the data as soon as the analysis is completed. The other two MTX Medijet studies we completed and reported in the third quarter were the human factors usability study and the actual human use study. The positive outcome of both studies was extremely important because it showed that the Medijet device used in a simulated environment as well as in an actual patient setting is safe, well-tolerated, and easy to use. In the actual human use study, the MediJet device delivered a subcutaneous dose of methotrexate to 100% of the patients with no adverse event discontinuance from the study and minimal to no pain at the site of administration. The successful completion and compelling outcome of these studies is very encouraging for us and further strengthens our value proposition for this product and our pipeline. We have also been able to file additional patent applications as part of an aggressive intellectual property strategy built around this product in order to protect our interests. I'm also pleased to report that we held a pre-NDA submission meeting with the FDA last week in spite of the storm and expect to file the NDA within the next 3 months. Together with the team at Antares, I am truly excited about being able to bring this potentially important new product to the market, a product which was conceived and developed by Antares as a result of our pipeline investment strategy, which is intended to allow Antares to further control its own future product opportunities. Now, as we discussed at our last earnings call, the team has been evaluating several options for commercialization of MTX MediJet, ranging from a joint venture partner to commercialing on our own here in the United States. Following both the positive data from the human trials we conducted and seeing that our device technology is comfortable, easy, and effective to use in patients' hands, we determined that the most likely outcome for Antares to control its own future so that we can optimize the return for this novel and proprietary product. Also, because of our recent experience with MTX MediJet, we believe that additional assets, such as our Vibex QST program for male testosterone replacement therapy, are likely to show the same patient benefits in other therapeutic segments, and it is important that we optimize the pricing of our own platform. We believe that the greatest maximization of shareholder value will come from creating a commercial capability where we control the complete economics of the product sale. Obviously, we will continue to evaluate all partnering options, including international opportunities, when they present themselves, regarding the commercial value of MediJet, with a solitary goal of maximizing shareholder value. I'm fully confident that we have the right team in place with the right experience to launch this product, once approved, successfully in the United States. In October, we completed a public offering of Antares common stock at a purchase price of $4 a share. The net proceeds of the offering, including the over-allotment exercise, were approximately $53 million and will be used for the further development of the Vibex MTX MediJet, QST, and additional yet-to-be-announced programs. This financing not only gives us the firepower, but also the flexibility to derive the most value from our growing pipeline in the coming years and as we control our own destiny. Remember, we've consistently informed our shareholders that we expect to launch, with or without commercial partners, at least one product a year through 2016, and this financing will provide the flexibility to do so. Let me briefly update you on our third quarter results. Bob will take you through the detailed results after I finish my prepared remarks. Even though we are a company pursuing a pipeline strategy, total revenue increased 45% and 55% to $5.7 million in the third quarter and $17.1 million for the first 9 months of 2012. Up from $3.9 million and $11 million in the comparable periods last year. We ended the third quarter with $33.2 million in cash and investments and no debt. The quarter-ending cash balance did not include the proceeds from the financing. Before I turn the call over to Bob, I'd like to share with you additional thoughts on the significant progress we've made during the first 9 months of the year and why I believe this company has never been stronger. Our consistent message to date has been that our business model today, that of a royalty-driven drug device company with a view of reinvesting revenues in a sustainable pipeline for future growth, is the best vision. The recent filing of an sNDA for tevtropin 10 milligrams is expected to expand the market opportunity for our partner Teva and will also help to solidify our own historical base business as well. Another great example of the business model occurred this quarter when we received our first check from Watson for the Gelnique franchise agreement and a $750,000 development milestone payment from Pfizer for an undisclosed consumer healthcare product. This sizable milestone payment, plus any royalties we may receive once the product is approved and commercialized, will continue to fund future pipeline growth. Antares is an unusual biopharmaceutical company that has multiple shots on goal, together with mitigated risk as a result of our diversified and partnered pipeline. Our ultimate goal, which has been part of the strategic plan ever since I took over as CEO, and we are now getting very close to accomplishing this goal, is to transform Antares from this royalty-dependent business model to a product revenue-generating specialty pharmaceutical company. I believe that our progress this year has us well on track to deliver on that goal, and although we are not an earnings story today, we are now that much closer to becoming one. Now I will hand over the call to Bob to take you through the financials.
Thanks, Paul. Good morning, everyone. As Paul mentioned, the third quarter in the year-to-date 9 months of 2012 continue to show strong revenue growth for Antares. And I echo Paul's enthusiasm that this has been an exciting development and growth year for the company. Total revenues were $5.7 million and $3.9 million for the 3 months ended September 30, 2012 and 2011, respectively, an increase of 45%. For the 9 months ended September 30, 2012, the company's total revenue increased to $17.1 million, or 55%, from $11 million in the first 9 months of 2011. These growth percentages have been consistent for the past 3 years or so. Product sales were $2.1 million in the third quarter of 2012 compared to $2.2 million in 2011. For the 9 months ended September 30, 2012, product sales increased 33% to $7.8 million compared to $5.8 million in the prior year. The product sales increase was primarily due to sales of our oxybutynin gel 3% product to Watson in connection with Watson's launch of Gelnique 3% in April 2012. Development revenues were $2.6 million and $1 million in the three-month periods ended September 30, 2012 and 2011. For the 9 months ended September 30, 2012, the company's development revenue increased to $6.3 million from $2.7 million in the first 9 months of 2011. The revenue in the first 9 months of 2012 was primarily due to revenue recognized in connection with our license agreement with Watson, along with development revenue from Teva, while the development revenue in the first 9 months of 2011 consisted primarily of development work for Teva. Licensing revenues were $100,000 each of the three-month periods ended September 30, 2012 and 2011. For the first 9 months of 2012, licensing revenues were $800,000 compared to $600,000 in the first 9 months of 2011. Licensing revenue in the first 9 months of 2012 was primarily due to an upfront fee received in connection with our licensing agreement with Daewoong Pharmaceuticals for our 3% oxybutynin gel for South Korea, along with licensing revenue recognized in connection with our license agreement with Watson. Licensing revenue in the first 9 months of 2011 was primarily related to Teva agreements. Royalty revenues were $900,000 and $600,000 in the three-month periods ended September 30, 2012 and 2011, and were $2.2 million and $1.9 million in the nine-month periods ended September 30, 2012 and 2011. We received royalties from Teva and Ferring related to needle-free injector device sales and or HGH sales. We also receive royalties on sales of Elestrin recently marketed by MetaPharma, formerly marketed by Jazz Pharmaceuticals. In the third quarter of 2012, we received our first royalty payment from Watson on sales of Gelnique 3%, which was the primary reason for the increase in royalties in the 3 and 9 month periods. As you can see, we derive revenues from multiple sources, and each one of those sources can fluctuate greatly quarter to quarter. We believe that by continuing the development of our own products further downstream, not only will we grow our top-line revenue, but we will also generate more consistent and sustainable growth in the future. Total gross profit was $2.4 million and $2.1 million in the third quarters of 2012 and 2011, respectively, an increase to $9.3 million for the first 9 months of 2012 compared to $6.4 million in the first 9 months of 2011. The increase in the first 9 months of 2012 was mainly a result of increased development revenue. Total operating expenses were approximately $5.9 million and $3.4 million for the 3 months ended September 30, 2012 and 2011, respectively, and were $15.7 and $10.7 for the 9 months ended September 30, 2012 and 2011, respectively. The increases were primarily due to increased investment related to the accelerated development of our proprietary Vibex MediJet auto-injector for delivery of methotrexate for the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis. For the first 9 months of 2012, we incurred external development costs related to the Vibex MTX MediJet of approximately $4.6 million and also made investments in capital equipment of $2.4 million for the commercial production of the MediJet device. We believe that this type of investment in our pipeline will yield long-term growth for our shareholders. Net loss per share was 3 cents and 1 cent for the third quarters of 2012 and 2011, respectively, and was $0.06 and $0.04 for the 9 month periods ended 2012 and 2011. The increase in the loss per share quarter-to-quarter and year-over-year was mainly due to the accelerated Viabex MTX development program, including the recently completed PK study. At September 30th, we had approximately $33.2 million in cash and investments, compared to approximately $34.4 million at December 31st, 2011. Taking into consideration our recently completed public offering of approximately 14.3 million common shares at $4 per share, yielding net proceeds of approximately $53.3 million, we currently have approximately $88 million in cash and investments as of today's call. On that note, I will now turn the call back over to Paul.
Okay, thanks, Bob, for that upbeat report. I'd like to summarize the concrete achievements so far in the past few months in the most productive year to date for Antares. As I discussed previously, we have completed all of the work necessary to file the NDA for Methotrexate Medijet, and we finished this ahead of schedule. And I'd like to thank everyone involved in making this happen, particularly our development colleagues here in Ewing and Minneapolis, led by Dr. Kashik Darve. It's been an immense team effort, and I'm very proud of it. We also added a new product to our pipeline, Viabex QST for male testosterone deficiency, and we expect this to enter the clinic in 2013 as a result of preclinical development work that we've conducted this year. We've also identified a third pipeline product that we will announce to go into development, and we'll announce it for competitive reasons when we feel it is appropriate to do so and we have the intellectual property wrapped up. Rest assured, though, that we are pursuing this aggressively. More recently, we saw the filing of the sNDA for tevtropin 10 milligrams, which is expected to improve Teva's market share in this growing category. The financial position of the company has also improved, not just through the increased balance sheet strength as a result of the recent equity offering, but also through our growing revenue base, partly as a result of the launch of Gelnic 3% by Watson in the second quarter. There are numerous other events that have occurred this year, such as the EpiPen settlement, which will also help strengthen our company and propel us to our goal of becoming a product-focused specialty pharmaceutical business underpinned by a diverse portfolio of partnership products. I have been CEO for just 4 years, and in that time we've undertaken a complete transformation of a business that was valued at less than $30 million in late 2008, and we've positioned it today for exciting growth based on sound business principles and disciplined teamwork by everyone here at the company. The next step on this path is to file the NDA for MTX Medijet, and I can assure you that right now, this is the short-term focus of everyone here at the company. Antares is now in a stronger place than it has ever been, and I believe that we are well positioned for the exciting future that lies ahead. That wraps up our prepared comments of today, so we can now take your questions. Operator, could you please review the instructions?
Yes, of course. If any of the participants would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. And to remove the request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received, and there may be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. Thank you. And the first question comes from Louise Chen from Guggenheim. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So a few questions. First question I had was, I know you provided some detail on your trials for Viabex MTX, but I was wondering if you could provide some more color in which of those trials you'll be putting along with your filing.
All of them will be included in the filing. So the data we will be announcing shortly comes from a clinical pharmacokinetic study, which is the new information this morning, which I believe is an important study to demonstrate the benefits of the Viabex methotrexate Medijet product compared to oral administration. And that was the last study that we were in the process of completing. We have now completed it. I also should say that, as I said in my prepared remarks, Louise, that we've completed all of these studies ahead of schedule, and we're now aggressively pursuing the filing of the NDA, particularly following the pre-NDA meeting we had with the FDA last week, which was very productive for us.
Okay, and the second question I had was, historically you have said that you expect one new product launch a year through 2016. Does that still hold true, and could you just provide an update as to the timing of those products and which ones that you have disclosed?
Yeah, the it's actually, I think it's included on our presentation that's on the web, but we're more confident than ever that we're going to be launching on average one product a year through 2016.
And finish. I'm sorry. I was going to ask you one more question. Hello?
Yeah.
Sorry. If Louise wants to continue the questions, if she can please poll for questions again. Currently, we have the following participant to ask a question, which will come from Matt Catlan from Ladenburg. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Hey, Matt. Yeah.
Great, great. Congrats on the progress during the quarter.
Thank you.
Welcome. So a couple questions. First, you know, starting out with the Vibex MTX program. You know, following your meeting with the FDA, what's the rate limiting step with respect to filing the NDA? What else do you need to complete, I guess? Seems like you've completed most of the clinical development and clinical trials. What else do you need to get done before you can file this stuff?
Actually, Matt, the only thing that needs to be done is to do all the paperwork and send it into the FDA. So right now we've got the team and a lot of consultants working with us on compiling all that, and the heat's on, let's put it that way.
So no real surprises with your pre-NDA meeting at FDA last week?
Actually, no, it was a very good meeting for us, we felt.
Great, great. Now, in your prepared remarks, it sounds like you've made the decision in terms of commercializing MTX in the U.S. on your own. I think it's a good idea. But tell us a little bit about what the commercial organization will look like in the future, and when do you start to build it?
Sure. In actual fact, I have Leroux Uester here. That is the correct pronunciation of his name, I'm told. And Leroux is our head of sales and marketing here. He joined us from Cephalon about 6 months ago. In the past life, he'd actually launched Enbrel. And we're building out the commercial capability now. So I'm going to hand this over to Leroux to answer your question, Matt.
Thanks.
Yeah, good morning, Matt. Thanks for that question. While we will continue to evaluate options for potential partnerships, we will be prepared to launch this product on our own. And to specifically address your question, we believe that we should have, in fact, must have, all critical and strategic capabilities in-house with Antares. So as we get nearer to launch, we will be recruiting folks who have experience with this product in this particular therapeutic area, and I'm confident that we can attract the very best people. In fact, we just recently attracted a very experienced senior individual as a product director, and we will be prepared to take this out on our own.
Great. So I guess, Leroux, what I'm getting at is how many sales folks do you think it will look like, at number of people, and what do you think the cost will be to build this organization?
Yeah, let me give you a little bit of color on that. Obviously, we're still in the midst of assessing and analyzing the required resources. This is clearly a specialty focus with rheumatologists. There are probably around 2,500 to 3,000 rheumatologists that we would need to call on. On average, I would say you'd need at least 25, maybe up to 35 sales representatives. But, of course, we need to look at the overall environment in which we want to commercialize this product. So there are many more stakeholders and individuals that we would need to talk to, from payers to a variety of different organizations, whether it be the professional associations like ACR or patient associations like the Arthritis Foundation. So all in all, if you're asking me to tell you how many folks we would have with feet on the ground, we're still in the midst of assessing that, but I would estimate somewhere around 40 to 50.
Okay, fair enough. And do you think you'll be able to leverage this sales organization with the other products that you're contemplating in your pipeline to put through to, I guess, also rheumatologists, or what's the strategy there?
Absolutely, we'll be able to leverage our commercial capabilities as we build our own internal strength from a commercial perspective. It should be relatively easy to branch out into other therapeutic areas as well. Should we find synergies within the rheumatology area, obviously that would make sense as well.
Yeah, Matt, the other thing that I would just say as part of our strategy here is to develop products that focus on specialty calls.
Mm-hmm.
With the case of Methotrexate, it's the rheumatologist, and in the case of testosterone, it's the urologist. the other pipeline program that we have just discussed earlier, which we're pursuing aggressively, but we haven't announced yet, is also going to be a specialty sale too.
Okay. Great. And just a couple more questions. I guess one for Bob. The Teva partnership, can you give us an update in terms of where the different products stand in development in terms of the second auto injector and the two pen injectors?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the Teva relationship, has gone strong as usual. First and foremost, the API product. Obviously, we're still waiting approval for that from the agency, but we have that date certain launch of 2015, June of 15, and next year we'll be selling devices to Teva for the API product, and also into 2014. So I think that, you know, we finished up the commercial tooling in that area. We're going to be delivering devices starting next year, and I think that's a good sign for the positive kind of feeling of getting that product launched in 2015. On the pen programs, they're moving along quite well. They're being done both in the U.S. and in Europe, and the opportunity has actually grown quite a bit for us. Europe is leading the development program. For their marketplaces, and the U.S. are also, obviously sharing the data and getting ready for the ANDA filing that we expect early next year on one of the PEM programs. So they're moving along, and that's why our development revenue is continuing to grow, and our relationship with Teva continues to get strong. On the second auto injector product, we are looking to launch that hopefully next year. We're finishing up some development work, and we have to, submit some of the requests from the agency that we got a while back on some of the device questions and drug questions. But we're still confident that that's going to move forward and hopefully launch that next year. So things are going well with all those programs.
Great, thanks for the added detail. And I guess last question. What are your thoughts now, I guess, on how Gelnique is working so far in the market and growth potential there, and as well kind of Elestrin with change of kind of handing off the baton in terms of ownership of that product? What are the opportunities there?
Well, I think I can answer Elestrin, and I can hand over Gelnique to either LaRue or Paul. But I think Elestrin is continuing to grow. The handover from Jazz to Meta, I think, went extremely well. And Meta has will probably be a bit more focused on the product because it was the biggest product in the portfolio that they bought, so they need to get the value back. So I see them potentially aggressively marketing that. It wasn't really in Jazz's kind of mix of products that they would focus on, so I think it's a good transition for us. And even before it was handed over to Meta, the product was growing. So we see that as a long-term product. Once a patient gets on, they seem to stay on it for a long time, and that for us is a nice royalty stream that we'll see, I think, far into the future. As far as Gelnique, Paul can give you some update on
that. So with Gelnique, I think this product was launched about halfway through the second quarter of this year, and that's what our first royalty check represented. What we've seen is that the Gelnique 3% product has actually, it now accounts for, I'm thinking about 25 to 30% of the total prescriptions Watson gets now for gels. So it's actually penetrating the market quite well itself. I think it's taking a little bit of market share away from the 10% gel, which is relevant because we get paid royalties on both of those gel products. But Watson have got a very aggressive marketing campaign in place, and there's a lot of sampling going on right now with the products. I'm hopeful that those will translate to longer-term prescription growth.
Great. Thanks for taking my questions and the added detail.
Thanks very much, Matt.
Thank you. The next person in line is Chris Holterhoff from Oppenheimer. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Just one quick question on Tebtropin. Can you remind us when you expect a decision on the approval of that the 10 mg dose? And then is it possible to kind of quantify the impact and maybe the timing of, what you expect the impact of that 10 mg dose to be on TGS sales if and when it gets approved?
Yeah, I'll let Bob take that one.
Right. So I believe we filed, or our partner filed, the SNDA less than a month ago. And typically, it's a six-month review. We can't really determine whether or not the agency's going to hit that time frame, but let's assume they do. And so you would probably see a launch of that product 3 months after that as a typical time frame that it takes to get the product up and into the channel and so forth. So it'll probably be a mid to late year launch for Teva. From what it means to us and what it means potentially to their HGH franchise is that a large percentage of their patients, HGH, the product itself, is based on weight. So as a child gets older, if they start them out young and as they get older, as their weight goes up, the 5 milligram is not typically enough HGH, and so they tend to change over to other products as they, you know, go into their teens. So I think Teva's been losing a little bit of patient prescriptions because of the weight issue. The 10 milligram will clearly eliminate that. Most of the products out on the market are 10 milligram. So we see, you know, our royalty potentially going up as they increase their market share. And by the way, they've still been increasing their market share with the 5 milligram over the last year or so. As far as the device is concerned, which is important for us, device sales, and also the disposables, they really see this as an opportunity to relaunch the device, get it into more patients' hands, and really focus on that needle-free aspect of the device with the 10 milligrams. So hopefully it's a positive return for all parties in this transaction. So we're pretty excited about it.
Okay, but it sounds like it's going to be sort of more incremental in terms of the addition to revenue versus a real inflection point.
Yeah, and that's hard to say, Chris. I don't know. They believe this is a key element for them to grow their franchise. So, it's always obviously a function of third parties too. You know, how much market share you get based on pricing and so forth. So, but we both believe that this is a big opportunity for Teva and also us.
Okay, great. And then just on Vivex QSC, can you just remind us what the next kind of event that that program is that you might update the street about?
For the Methotrexate?
No, I think it's Vivex.
For QST?
For QS.
For QST. So, the next stage of that program, Chris, is to hold a pre-IND meeting with the FDA. We're actually planning on holding that shortly this year. And then we'll be moving into the clinic in 2013 with the product. So I would anticipate we start dosing patients probably at the start of the second quarter of next year. And we're hoping, of course, that the development program will follow a similar kind of timeline as the methotrexate program. And with methotrexate, we actually conducted all of the clinical studies necessary for the filing within an 18-month period. So we're going to put a lot of effort behind making sure that that program is kept a track and meets the same kind of timeline.
Got it. Thanks. And maybe just one last question for Bob. Is it possible to break down total product revenues in terms of how much was TGIT and how much was Jelmyto in the quarter?
I don't have that in front of me, Chris, but in the 10Q, it typically lays out where our sales came from, generally, Watson versus Teva and so forth. So that's going to be filed today, so that detail will be available.
Okay. We'll take a look later today. Thanks for taking the questions, and congrats on all the progress.
Thanks very much, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And joining us again from Guggenheim is Louise Chen. Please go ahead, madam.
Hi, thank you for taking the follow-up. I just had one. Do you expect an AB rating for your EpiPen product, and if so, why?
Yes.
I can answer that too, Louise. We expect an AB rating, and the reason is that it's an ANDA that we filed, and the agency wanted it as such. And also, just I think generally every question that we're getting around from the agency is around substitutability. You know, a lot of the back and forth is really geared towards what we believe is a substitutable product.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Louise, and welcome back.
Thank you.
If anybody else would like to ask a question, you may now press the star followed by the one on your telephone. And if you wish to remove this request, please press the star followed by the two. One more time, if anybody else would like to ask a question, you may now press the star followed by the one on your telephone. And to remove the request, please press the star followed by the two. Thank you. There appear to be no further questions. Please go ahead with any other marks you wish to share.
Okay, well, I'd actually just like to thank and congratulate the development group here at Antares on the fantastic job they do with methotrexate. But as I said earlier, this has been a year for us which has been absolutely pivotal. We've made a lot of progress forward. I'm very happy with the progress, and I believe that this company is now well positioned for growth. And we're looking forward to a productive rest of the year here in 2012 to an even better year in 2013. So thanks very much for listening.
Okay, thanks again for joining us on today's call. If you have any additional follow-up questions, please call me at 609-359-3016. This concludes today's call. Thank you, operator.